Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play. Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Wastelanders and Vault Dwellers, welcome back to the Fallout Lorecast. This is your host, Tom, and I have a wonderful group of patrons this week. A whole bunch of people decided to join us, including some new people, and I'm going to read through everyone's names and welcome everyone. And this week, we are getting into a topic about what if the bombs dropped, like, on us? Maybe now. What would we do? How would we prepare? Would we be prepared? What would happen where we live? All of that kind of stuff. And we're going to get into those details. But welcome back to a number of you. And welcome, first time for a number of you, to Void, Pumpkin, Ebony Kitty, Lil Green. I'm just going to call you Ash because it's so much easier to pronounce just Ash. Judson, Ladonbo, Nova, and Germinator. Welcome, everybody. So glad that you are here. Here, I'm going to count to three, and then you're going to unmute, and you're going to tell me the first sound that's going to come out of your mouth when you realize the bombs are falling. Here we go. This is going to be fun. I have a feeling we're going to hear a lot of screaming, or maybe something more interesting than that. I don't know. Ready? On the count of three, get ready to unmute. One, two, three.
Well, fuck.
The first thing I heard was Pumpkin going, huh? And then everything else. And I'm sure there's delay. Everyone here probably hears a different mix of things depending on where they are. That's great. That's wonderful. Speaking of Pumpkin, you said that you wanted to chime in first about what would happen to you if the bombs dropped. And we're talking like real world stuff. We're not talking about like, I'm playing a character in Fallout. This is what I would do. For you personally, what happens?
Well, I feel like I'd be fine. Like, I live in Western Montana. There's not much here to bomb, so there is no point in bombing it. So I think all I'd have to do is really just gather. It's like supply gather.
Cool. All right. On to the next person. Who wants to go? I'm kidding.
Yeah, really. I mean, I live in Montana. Like, Eastern Montana is where all the nuclear silos are, really. So.
Oh, but
it's flat over there.
Yeah. Okay. But I mean, you would still have issues with like supplies.
I mean, yeah, we'd have like, food. But that's a little further down the line. Like supplies, like I could keep go like house to house if nobody's around, then I could just gather. But.
Wait, why would
I'm
nobody
fine
be
in
around?
Reality.
Would they?
I know that's the thing. There would like it would just kind of turn into okay, no longer money. Let's barter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you would probably have like everyone would probably go to like raid the grocery store, raid the hardware
farmland,
store.
That's all that's here.
There's not even like a grocery store or hardware store. Like where do
no,
you
we
get
have,
your
we
groceries?
No, we have Walmart, Safeway, and like a couple of like fast food restaurants.
Okay, so I would imagine as soon as the bombs drop within the 24 hours, all of those places would be raided for all of everything.
Really,
have,
I mean, right? Yeah, but like we're also a small town, so like.
Yeah, so I'm painting the picture here. Like everyone raids those things. Everyone then takes what they can. And then within a week or two, you're kind of out of food. Does everyone just go to the farms?
There's like the amount of people here. Like I guarantee it would be super easy to just start farming on land, like using the football fields, just as much land as you can find, just start planting stuff.
Okay.
Would not be hard to do.
Do you have seeds to start planting? And do you have the kinds of seeds that can regrow new seeds to continue planting
We do have a farmer's store here, so yes.
Okay. All right. So you feel like you're pretty set. Now,
yeah.
From an emotional standpoint, how would you personally deal with the idea that
I look at the rest of the world, I'm like, well, guess I'm here. No one else is like everyone else is getting bombed. That's kind of sad. But I got to focus on how I'm going to be or how I'm going to stay around.
Right. Okay. So let's apply Fallout logic to this, knowing how Fallout works. clouds of radiation could waft over you.
It would be like how the survivalist deals with it in Zion. Like right after the bombs drop, he's seeing like glowing snow.
Yeah.
Like, so, that's something that I know we'll definitely see later on in like the way it, like, and it'll probably end up just being the same way as how he survived, is people in basements, caves, and other stuff.
So would you find a basement or a cave?
I have a basement.
Okay, so you would. Okay, so what would you do to prepare? Okay, let me continue painting the picture. Hold on. Let me give you more pieces to this. Right, you've got radiation blowing in. You've got nuclear winter setting in. Eventually, the sunlight will be less because of just the massive amounts of ash and things in the air. And then, based on Fallout logic, you're going to have mutated animals and potentially ghouls running around. So, what things do you do to make sure that you prep for all of that?
Well, of course, you get weaponry. That's a big one. You have to get food, of course, food and water.
Do you have weapons?
Yes, we have some in the house. Yes.
Okay. So you're prepped there.
We're live, so I'm not going to give specifics.
It's fine. You don't have to. You can. Yeah. Don't feel free to give more specifics than you want. But just a general checklist. Do you have that?
You know, food gather, and then like within like the week or two after, you just continue working on collecting and working on making sure you have enough to get through the time.
Okay. Do you feel like you would get along with your neighbors and could like work together with them? Or do you feel like they would be likely to invade your property in order to get things that they're missing?
My immediate neighbor, I'll get along with. I don't know further down the street, but immediate neighbors I would get along with.
Do you have concern about people further away who might be like roving around trying to look for supplies and food?
Unless it's a tweaker running down the street, not really.
Okay. It sounds like you're very isolated then.
I think we've like maybe 4,000 people in our town at most.
Okay.
It's very, very low populace.
Interesting. All right. Let's open this up. Anybody else have any other questions for Pumpkin? He seems pretty confident that he'd be okay.
So
Void. Void has questions.
Pumpkin, I know where you live because we do the Dungeons and Dipshits podcast together, and I've sent him things through Amazon. You would have a vault.
100%.
But it's on an island in the middle of a lake.
Yeah.
That's safer.
It is.
I'm trying not to get... Jeremy, I'm trying not to get specific, and you're really not helping that.
Sorry.
Well, you're in some lake somewhere. There's lots of lakes. But like, you have basically a natural moat around you, which is a nice defensive...
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You're also in the valley. You're also like in a mountainous area. So all of that ash is going to come down from the top of those mountains and collect in the basin. You're not as safe as you think.
Nah.
Dun, dun, dun.
As well as all the nukes, if they're in eastern Montana, they have to go west in order to go to China. A lot of those nukes, if they're intercepted midair,
if they're set off, if they even go.
Actually, they might even go north. You know, when you travel internationally, how sometimes you end up going over rather than, it's actually a shorter route to go north. I guess it depends on where those things are targeting specifically on the Asian continent. But yeah, those trajectories aren't as simple as it feels like they are. Because we live
in Montana, even Montana itself has been mentioned in the lore. It is a very like much used for logging and mining. So,
yeah.
And can I just point out a tiny logic hole there? You're talking about farmers. There's a good bet that they only go shopping maybe once a month, if that. So you can guarantee that the stores are going to be full because all the farmers have still got all their own food.
You don't think that they would, in a dire emergency where bombs are exploding everywhere, stock up on everything they possibly can get as soon as possible?
I guarantee most farmers around here have their own nuclear bunker.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. Oh, maybe that's the way it plays out.
Most people still have Cold War bunkers up here. So
yeah, maybe I've watched too many zombie movies where everyone freaks out in the first 24 hours. And I mean, think about the way when COVID happened, how many people ran out of freaking toilet paper? I mean, come on, you know, like people are not rational.
Had that problem too.
Yeah. Yeah.
that was even a thing here. So
yeah, so I don't know, man.
Yeah, Australia ran out.
Yeah, I think it might be a little bit more dire than you might think it is. But
overall, I think I'm going to be okay.
Okay, well, that's good. That's good.
Maybe not good great, thoughts. But okay.
Survive. That sounds good. All right. Mm-hmm. Well, let's move on. Who would like to go next? Because we're starting on a very positive note here. I see Void's hand. Void, what would happen with you?
What happened with me? What do you mean?
When the bombs drop. Well, how what are you doing? Are you surviving? What's it going to be like where you live?
It will more than likely be kind of like how Fallout 4 is. Boston being the capital of Maryland. Mm-hmm. I live within the city limits of a state capital that produces a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to cripple all those things, they would immediately hit this area.
Yeah, I would imagine every state capital will be targeted.
Correct.
That would make
sense. And that's kind of along the lines of my thinking. Because I live in the suburbs, just like they did in Fallout 4.
Mm-hmm. Right, right. So you are within either the range of the bomb or the outlying areas, which would be severely impacted. So, okay, correct. So what are you doing to prepare for it? Like, how do you respond? Let's say you see explosions on the horizon and you don't even know. I mean, I guess if we're living in a Fallout-like world where tensions are that high, you probably have some sense of like, well, maybe things are getting kind of dangerous. I should start preparing.
Right. And it would definitely, I would probably have space in a vault. My grandfather did serve in the military. I don't know if that's only directly like husband and wife and children or based on Fallout 4 logic.
Mm-hmm.
Or if that's like extended family as well.
Well, let's just go down the what if. What if you do have a space in a vault? Are you going to the vault? Are you aware that the vaults may not be what they are sold to be and that you might be getting into something unexpected?
With my level of intelligence, Vault Tech probably would have already approached me for a job, so I might have already had a job with them. But with my level of empathy toward human life, I probably would not have stayed with them. Then I probably would have gotten killed. Anyway, but if I didn't know that the Vault experiments were going on, I would have gone to the Vault. If I don't have space in a Vault, I am grabbing ammunition, a rifle, a shotgun, and I am going out on my own.
Like, so you're entering full survivalist.
Oh yeah, mode. It is complete survivalist.
And are you leaving your home because of its proximity to other, I don't know, the actual fallout of those nukes?
I would leave my home specifically due to population density.
Oh, okay.
Because the more population dense you are, mm-hmm. the more ghouls, the more super mutants, the more everything you have,
or just people, and the higher risk. Or just people in just desperate need who are willing to
correct.
Attack their neighbors because they're hungry. Like that's the other thing you have to consider about all this. Okay, so are you heading out into the wilderness with a plan to like build a place to live? Are you finding other people? Are you rallying your friends and your family around you?
Well, I would have one person in particular that I would go to, but he also is of the same mindset as I am. Not you, Logan. Pumpkin.
Oh.
You're 1500 miles away. I can't go to you.
But he has a castle on a lake. Maybe not a castle.
Yeah, I'm not walking that one by foot.
Okay.
Not when the pumps don't work.
Okay.
No, the closest wilderness is an hour south of me, and that's by car.
Yeah.
So it would just be farmland after farmland after farmland walking.
Uh-huh.
So it would be mostly going south and raiding homes.
So you would become one of the raiders that Pumpkin is not worried will attack his home.
If not collect people along the way to help.
Mm.
Like almost build my own Minutemen.
Oh, okay.
That makes sense.
Okay. Well, that's better than building your own raider faction. Yeah. I'm just going to make the cons. Let's go. Yeah.
Of course.
All right. Let's open this up. Anybody else have any questions for Void about his strategy here? Anyone else have thoughts? Any questions? Or maybe you answered the questions well enough. And we don't have any thoughts or questions. Or any last thoughts, Void?
God, I hope the world doesn't come to this.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, absolutely. I think we're all in agreement there. All right. Who would like to go next? Let's keep this going. I see Judson's hand. Judson. Welcome to the show, by the way. thanks for joining us.
Well, this is actually the second one I've been on. The first one I didn't really get a chance to speak. That was a couple of years ago.
Okay, yeah, it has been a while. Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah. Welcome back then. Yeah. I have a hard time. I've been doing this for so long now. I have a hard time remembering everything that's happened. But yeah, welcome back. So what is your plan? What's going on with your situation?
Well, I'd be kind of about like Pumpkin King. I'm out in the middle of nowhere in the Pacific Northwest forests. Granted, the Japanese did try to firebomb us back during World War II. So, I mean, there's that. But again, I mean, I'm out in the middle of nowhere. The closest town population is like 10,000. And that's probably about a 7-minute drive, 15-minute drive. And everybody out here, we can our own food. We grow our own food. And
yeah,
kind of like that old country song says, a country boy can survive.
Sure. So do you feel pretty set? Like, I think we're figuring out pretty quickly that there are a few things to deal with, right? There is the possibility of getting nuked based on your location to either a large city, a capital, or a military base or military location, right? Then there is the ability to get supplies, and then there is the concern about the dangers of the things coming, things like monsters or raiders or ghouls or any of that stuff. How do you feel about all of those?
We'd be pretty well set out here. I mean, most people, if you don't know somebody out here, you don't usually come out to this area.
Mm-hmm.
That's just kind of the way this area is. I don't know, maybe an hour drive from the state capital. So, I mean, I'm not too worried about it.
Okay. Do you feel like if you were to all of a sudden start having to deal with mutated creatures or ghouls, would you be able to defend yourself?
Oh yeah, we've got weapons out here. So
okay. Now what go ahead. I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, I was just going to say, we've got weapons. We're able to take care of ourselves, defend ourselves out here.
Okay, so do you think maybe the nuclear winter and the reduced ability to grow food would be kind of more of the issue in the long term?
Yeah, for a while. I mean, there are ways around to grow stuff with less sunlight, like greenhouses and doing tunnels and
heat
plastic
lamps.
Tunnels and stuff like that.
Right,
so,
right.
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, it would kind of drop our food production down a little bit, but I think we could still make it.
Okay. Do you feel like everyone in your community would band together rather than
be
at odds with each other?
Yeah, pretty much everyone out here is like family or knows each other, so...
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, that's another positive take on this. Anybody have any questions for Judson? No, no questions. It sounds like some of you guys have some pretty set up for this. The thing with Fallout is that there's always something that comes up that's unexpected, right? There's always something, whether it's your best friend turns into a ghoul in front of you, or oh crap, the vault that the people went into in the town nearby is now exploding because the experiments went wrong or whatever. There's always something, right? And so I always feel like that it's never quite as safe as it seems. That's my sense of it. Any last thoughts, Judson? Anything else you want to chime in with here?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, sounds like you got a plan. All right. Who would like to go next? Nova, I saw that you unmuted. Does that mean you want to go?
I think everyone's been too happy so far, so I'm going to put more realism into this.
Oh, no.
I'm going to die. I'm just going to die.
You're just going to get blown to bits or what?
Yeah, well, let's put it into context. I live in Kansas City, a city of 500,000 people with a metropolitan area that has 2.5 million people. That is the third most targeted city after Washington, D.C. and Omaha, Nebraska. At least was by the Soviets. I'm not sure what the Chinese have targeted. Mainly because of Wyman Air Force Base, the home of the B-2 stealth bomber, down the road from me, about 50 miles away. So they would bomb... You know, also, Kansas City produced 90-something percent of the non-nuclear components of a nuclear bomb, so of America's nuclear arsenal. So I would just die probably. But if there was some smidgen miracle in which I did survive, the one saving grace would be Subtropolis, which is a 55 million square foot subterranean, basically just quarry that was turned into offices. So it's basically it's the vault of Kansas City. So
wow.
If people were to survive, it would be in there, I guess. Okay. And that's not too far from me. But also, though, if people know about it, they're all going to crowd in there. So it's going to become a massive riot. And mm-hmm. you're more than likely going to starve to death, if not be suffocated or asphyxiate in there or, you know, just run out of water.
Or just murdered because somebody else wants your spot. Well. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and I just live in the suburbs surrounded by some okay people and also some people who are obvious drug addicts, so it would not be a it would not be a very pretty picture, because as you pointed out before, COVID-19, people lost their minds over, in retrospect, was honestly closer to the flu than the end of the world.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, that like the times in our, even just our lifetimes, not even going back to other kinds of even more terrible situations like war and famine and disease situations that have happened in the past. During our lives, the public response to things that seem terrible is extreme. And you expand that out to the idea of hundreds of bombs across the country. And I mean, I can't imagine it doesn't get even worse than that, especially if you live in a metropolitan area, you know. And I would imagine mm-hmm. Kansas City also, because of the things you mentioned, major city center, also military base, also important military base. You're getting multiple nukes.
Like, well, not just that, but it's also a major industrial center, and it's one of the nation's premier rail hubs. And so,
yeah.
most if you're going to ship something from the West Coast to the East Coast or vice versa, it's going to go through either Kansas City, Omaha, Nebraska, Dallas, or I forget. There's a couple other cities, but there's like four or five of them where they're all these massive rail junctions. That then if you look at the rail map, if you're autistic, you look at a rail map, you will see that all the rails lead to only a few cities, and they spread mm-hmm. out from those cities to go everywhere else. And so
right, they're hubs.
If you want to cripple a nation or cripple something, go for the logistics, because an army march on its stomach, and that's obviously going to be what the Chinese and or Russians and or whoever else the taxes are going to do.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. So, okay, so do you have a personal plan to try to survive? Even though it seems highly unlikely, to like what would you do?
Well, I do have a sub basement, which is like 10 feet-ish underground or so, I think. And I do have an arsenal fit to arm an army, so I would be safe in that regard.
So you would just hunker down. That's the plan.
I would just hunker down as long as I physically can.
Also, do you know what's wonderful about the phrase hunker down is that we don't use hunker except for when we say hunker down. Or at least where I live, like if a hurricane comes, everyone's like, oh, I'm getting my supplies ready. I'm going to put up the boards on the windows. We're hunkering down. And I'm like, do you ever use the word hunker ever anywhere else?
No. I've always wondered if hunker was just a mispronunciation of bunker when I was young. We're going to bunker down.
Yeah, bunker down. That makes
and
sense.
It just became a southern, it is somebody in the south where we're going to hunker now.
I mean, it sounds like a very southern word, like hunker down. Like, yeah, okay, cool. But when do we ever else, like, there's no other time where we use the word hunker. Like, I'm a hunker in to do something. Like, maybe? not really? Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. Well, like, honestly, I think it would be my only chance would be just to hunker down for as long as possible and then try and either probably go south or out into Kansas, one of those two.
Okay.
Go down, try and make it to the Ozarks, or try and make it out into Kansas, because Kansas, as everyone knows, is quite literally flatter than a pancake.
Yeah.
So it would be pretty easy to survive out there.
There's lots of farmland. Lots of corn.
It's very easy to cultivate.
If you've driven through Kansas before, it's just miles and miles of corn.
It honestly is. You know, yeah. They make fun of them for. And then you have plenty of water out there, if you can dig a well, that is.
If it's not irradiated, if the groundwater isn't all garbage.
I mean, it wouldn't be irradiated for probably a little bit, I hope, except for,
It depends, yeah. There's a lot of variables.
Yeah, there is a lot of variables, but I would rather have access to water that than a, well, if I remember correctly, you can if you evaporate the water and recondense it, then I don't remember if the radiation transfers. I'm 90% sure it doesn't transfer.
That's
though.
A good
It
question.
also leaves all the contaminants behind. So
right, yeah. I wonder if distilling it works. Yeah, it's a good question. Okay, so yeah. You feel like you're pretty safe. You'd find another place to go.
Oh, I do not feel safe.
Well,
at all,
once
no. What are you talking
like
about?
if you were to hunker down in your bunker and the bombs didn't take you out, then you would figure out what to do. Is kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, fair from there.
Yeah,
and. Family and friends wise, direct family probably would bicker and argue about everything, and either A, some of them would come with me, or B, I would have to go off on my own, because family is family. You can almost never agree on much.
Yeah, I'm sure. Like that's the other piece of this, is that the unseen tensions between individuals panicking, not being rational, being emotional. All of that stuff, hopefully people would come together, but I would imagine that there would be fractures that you just can't prepare for.
Well, there definitely would be, but it would be, if you can convince one or two or three other people to come with you and help, that would be a major boon to your survival. It's just a matter of, would they, A, feel comfortable enough leaving their house and trying to live out in the world with you, and...
Right, right.
Do whatever you need to really do to survive out in the world, and because you'd have to obviously move away from the metropolitan areas to go to the more rural suburban, if not even suburban, just rural general areas, the farmland, or the in the Ozarks case, just the barren wilderness.
Right.
Like for context, the Ozarks are basically like the Appalachian Mountains, just in the middle of America, though. Just for context, so everyone doesn't know. If you ever seen the show Ozark, that's where it's based around, like the Ozarks.
So you're going to start dealing drugs and laundering money? Is that the plan?
Laundering caps and giving out jet.
Okay, cool. All right, cool. Any questions for Nova? Anybody have any questions about that situation and what he's going through? Pumpkin?
Would you go ghoul with how close to a nuke you'd be?
Oh, God, I hope not.
But it might make you more resilient.
There's a really good possibility, though.
To, surviving.
One of my plans was, could I just float down the Missouri River to get to the Ozarks? Or at least farther south than I am right now, or away from the city? But then I realized, no, that would bring me to Jefferson, the state capital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would probably be a problem, too.
Well, the state capital is like 40,000 people, so...
Yeah. Well, as long as the river was still flowing, you could maybe just keep going on by, but...
Yeah.
How many other people would then try to use the river to travel, and would it get blocked up and destroyed by the bombs? And,
it's also I-70, the primary artery, follows the river all the way from Kansas City to St. Louis, and that cuts all the way through Jefferson as well, and it's really close to Columbia and all the other major cities that you can consider major. Honestly, the only outlier would be Springfield, and so all the major cities in Missouri follow I-70. So that's where the vast majority of the population swath is along the Missouri River.
Well, you know what they say, misery loves company.
Oh, yes, we do. I know. That's why I said the show me state. Show me the misery, buddy.
Yep, there you go. Well, good luck, Nova. I have a feeling this is not going to be easy. And you are not going to have the same situation that Judson or Pumpkin are dealing with in your scenario. No. Yeah.
Now, we may start with an M as well, but we're not the same state, Pumpkin.
All right. Well, thanks, Nova. All right. Who would like to? I saw Lil Green's hand. I think it was Ladonbo's hand. Ebony Kitty's raising your hand. Let's go in that order, because Lil Green, you want to go? You want to pass it on to somebody?
I'll go.
Okay.
So I'm in the same boat as Nova. I'm dead.
Yeah. I feel the same way.
There's no question.
I agree.
I live close to New York City, but also I live close to a few military bases, one being within 10 miles of me. So
yeah, if you are in the northeastern seaboard area of anywhere from I don't know, basically anywhere in the northeast along the coast, I have a feeling that you're just you're done for, right?
Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, but so there's nowhere for me to hide really around me, because where I live, it's a lot of sand. Unless you go an hour north or west, because that's just because of the way when the ice caps were down by me, they just eroded the entire coast, so it's just sand.
Yeah,
there's no rock for miles,
right?
So right. I'm SOL. I would literally just go outside or sit down wherever I am and just embrace it.
So you're just like, it's like the end of Andor, where they're just like, yeah, yep, I guess we're done. Let's just hug.
Sitting here waiting for the inevitable.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's my experience with it for sure.
Okay. Yeah, I have a feeling you wouldn't get much of a warning, so you wouldn't have any time to travel. And even if there was a warning, the roads would be jammed.
I live in such a populated, dense area. Like,
yeah,
the roads would be instantly clogged.
Right. Yeah.
Like, so there would be no way to. There's no escape. Okay. I'm dead.
Well, what if? Okay, so let's at least take this in a direction that seems like there's potential. What if you had the opportunity to sign up for a vault? Again, not having played Fallout, not knowing what happens in vaults. But
if I had the opportunity,
it would be expensive. So you'd have to consider that.
I wouldn't. I'd be dead. I couldn't afford it.
Yeah. So you'd be like, yeah, I know.
So I don't have any skills. Yeah. If my father was still alive, I might, like, cause he is a veteran. I don't know if that'd help us with Vault-Tec. But other than that, it's a big, no, I'm gone. And not even a chance to be a ghoul, but from how close I am to some places.
Yeah.
So, cause like the initial pressure wave would just.
Right.
Dead.
Right.
Dead.
And we have to remember that the bombs in Fallout were smaller but more numerous. So yeah. it wouldn't just be one bomb and then maybe you were just on the outskirts of that. It would be multiple bursts and over a wider area that probably would destroy you if you were even, you know, on the outskirts of a major city.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not even just like I'm on the, like, because like within, I think it's actually like 5 miles from my house, there's a military installation. And it's a very important one.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm being vague just because,
sure,
like, you know, it's the internet. Granted, everyone knows my name. It's easy to find me on the internet.
Sure. No, that, totally. For safety reasons. Absolutely. Absolutely. You guys have questions for Lil Green? I see some hands.
What's up, Pumpkin?
I got one. So you just accepted that you're just gone. Are you gonna make your skeleton do something funny?
If I had the opportunity, yes, I would.
Are you gonna die on
the
toilet?
Are you gonna do the Sarah Connor from Terminator on the fence?
Oh, there you go.
Or grab a bunch of booze and just jump in the bathtub.
Yes. Or set up your stuffed animals in funny positions.
Or try to set up my camera for my last selfie.
Yeah, there you go.
Go ahead and photographer style.
Yeah. Yeah, Void.
It's the
Void
atomic
has
flash that illuminates you this time.
It's the most creative photography ever. Yes. Void has a question.
With the input of there's more bombs than just one, I'm dead. I forgot they're smaller but more numerous. I'm dead.
You're dead too now because of the change.
I'm within 10 miles of city center.
Yeah.
I'm not making this out. I'm not making it out alive.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably a small chance, but the chance goes down because it's smaller, more numerous warheads. So
yeah, I mean, nothing beats, like, if you look at like one of the Soviet target maps, where I live is just covered.
Yeah,
with like the multiple different like targets and scenarios. I'm just like, yeah, I'm just there's no chance.
Sorry, man. Maybe you ghoulify and then survive it or something.
I'd be lucky. I'd be really lucky.
Okay. All right. Any last thoughts, Lil Green?
Not really.
No? Okay. All right. Well, thanks, man. I'm sorry. It's been nice knowing you, but...
can I ask one more question?
Sure.
What's up?
What would your last, like, thought or words be?
Oh, fuck.
That's that's right there.
That would work.
That's okay. I thought you were maybe considering what it would be, and that was the response to the consideration.
No,
that's the quote. That's the quote.
Finally.
I rest now. And I sleep. Cool, man. All right.
It's like that guy from like Waterworld that was like stuck in the like a tank. He's like, oh, thank God.
Oh, that's so dark. All right. Thanks for cheering us up, Lil Green. Ladonbo, I know that I think you were next after Lil Green. What are you thinking? What's your situation?
It's pretty grim for me as well.
Yeah.
I live in Reno.
Okay.
So, I mean.
Well, if you were in Vegas, you might survive.
But, yeah, way too far.
Yeah.
That's like 8 hours by car something, but.
Reno's the second largest city in Nevada?
Yeah.
So yeah, it might be on the list of targets. No vaults. No vaults. Well, as far as we know, I mean, there's lots of vaults out there we don't know about, but
right.
But yeah, I mean, second largest city in a state, probably going to be on the target list, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know, like 40 minutes from the capital, you know, Carson City. So I'm not like super savvy on all of the lore. So I did do some digging. Apparently, Reno was overall spared from the Great War, but it becomes like a lawless crime family driven land. So,
okay.
Not super great chances.
Yeah,
I'd say, but you know, maybe I could join a crime family or some kind of underground gambling ring or something.
Yeah, maybe. You know, you bring up the fact that like in the lore, things revert to crime lords and that kind of thing. And I try to be a realist about things, and this may sound pessimistic, but when you look at history and you look at areas and the ways human beings inhabit areas, especially in pre-modern society, the majority of human beings were lorded over at some time in history and still are today by nefarious authoritarian leaders who rule with power and fear. That is the standard human condition and has been since the beginning of civilization. The assumption of the Fallout writers that those of us who would live through an apocalyptic event like this would have to go back to that kind of society is probably pretty accurate, because those with power are not going to share it. And I think you're right. I think you would probably end up having to do some terrible, nefarious things just to survive. And that sucks. Like, that's really dark.
I mean, and I've been thinking about it a lot too. I have an 8-year-old, and so like, I don't know. I'd have to do something crazy, I guess, to try and survive, save up some caps and make it to California or something.
Yeah, I mean, California's going to be all bombed out. I guess there are large swaths. I mean, it's a large state, so there are going to be areas that aren't.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I think that your story is probably going to match a lot like what everyone else said who survived, is that you're either in or going to try to find a place that's more rural, more isolated, where you can set things up, protect yourself, farm for your own food or whatever, rely on the few people you can trust and just make it work. And that sounds really dark, but I don't know, maybe that's accurate. We just had the best weekend. My daughter came and visited, and I wanted to have an experience that everybody would have a blast with and remember for a long time. So I loaded up the I Expect You to Die trilogy on our MetaQuest 3 VR headset, and oh my gosh, we had so much fun. And you might be thinking, I Expect You to Die, wait, what does that mean? Well, imagine being a retro spy in a world that's trying to murder you on every mission, and you have to figure out how to get through the puzzles, how to not get shot by lasers, how to launch a car out of the back of an airplane. That is the first thing you do in the first game, and my son was able to complete that quest. Later on, when we got to the third game, we were setting off explosives in an underwater base. We used Chromecast to project it up on the TV, and we all played together. One person would put the headset on, and they'd look around, and they'd try to figure out the puzzles, while the rest of us would say, well, look over there, and what did that note say? And we figured it all out. It was like having an escape room in our living room for the entire weekend. We'd take breaks and go out for dinner, and then we'd get home, and I'd say, what do you guys want to do? And they're like, let's play more of I Expect You to Die. And I was like, holy crap, this is so much fun. Oh, and believe me, they died, but they also figured out the puzzles. And the settings and the characters were hilarious and really well done. There's like a storyline that goes from the first game to the second game and then to the third, and you're Agent Phoenix and they keep trying to kill you, but you keep coming back. It's such a great time. And I've been a fan of this game for a while. This was just my first opportunity to play it with her and everybody in the house at the same time. But what's really cool is that they're sponsoring the podcast, and they've decided to give our listeners for the next 60 days 45% off with a code you can use on your MetaQuest account. Put in Fallout Rising, capital F, Fallout, capital R, Rising, all one word, dash 8904FC. Again, capital F, Fallout, capital R, Rising, dash 8904, capital F, capital C. 45% off this amazing experience. It's not even just a game, it's an experience. Go pick it up, and if you can't remember the code, it'll be in the description, so don't worry. Oh, and believe me, I expect you to die and have an awesome time doing it.
Yeah, I mean, not too many choices, I guess.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Yeah. I also, as we talk through this, I think that the lack of food is going to be a much bigger problem than we assume, because nuclear winter is a huge issue. There is a year on record where due to, I think it was a volcanic eruption back in like 1030 or something, I probably have the date wrong, the world did not have a summer. There is a year on record. Do you know about this, Void? You're raising your finger.
I believe it was the eruption of Pompeii, if I'm not
was it Pompeii?
Mistaken. There was, I believe it was.
Maybe it was Pompeii. Maybe there was another event later on.
Somebody correct me if they know better. But
there is a year.
There's a much closer year. It was 1816 and also 1876 to 1877 that are known as the year without summers.
Okay, maybe I'm thinking of that too. I think there are a few events that like changed the way the world worked in a way so that summer didn't happen, and the hit on food and population was considerable, and that's not a nuclear fallout. That's just a volcano going off or whatever. So I, you know, this idea that like, yeah, we'd be able to make food. I don't know, man. Think about how much food you consume in a week. How long does it take to grow things? Months, if not whole seasons and cycles.
We tried to grow bell peppers this summer and nothing happened. So
yeah,
I mean, I'm probably screwed.
Yeah, I mean, we have multiple little bins in our backyard of different plants and herbs and things like that. And every so often we get a whole bunch of tomatoes, but like the amount of land, like I wouldn't have enough land on my property to have enough food regularly growing to feed myself and my family. Like it would take a lot more than that. So anyway, sorry, I sidetracked this, but into other things. Any other thoughts? No,
I think that's it for me. Yeah.
No. Did you have a question, Void?
On the winterization thing, somebody in chat says it was Mount Tambaro.
Oh, was it?
So yes, but that's also at the same
1816. Yeah. Okay.
And at the same time, if nukes fell on Yellowstone, it would probably trigger the eruption of the supervolcano.
maybe, or who knows about fault lines in California or other places. I mean, holy crap. Yeah, all sorts of crazy stuff. Ladambo, good luck. Good luck to you and Lil Green. Maybe you guys can band together. all right, let's move on. Who would like to go next? I think I saw Ebony Kinney's hand previously. Ebony, are you ready? You want to chime in? What's your situation?
Yes, so keeping on the train of miserable existence here in the wasteland.
Yes.
I live an hour away from Atlanta, so we have the CDC. So if I don't get blown up, I get to become a very, very bad ox-ridden ghoul.
Nice, nice. Yeah, if anywhere is getting hit in Georgia, it's going to be Atlanta.
And then we also have the Atlanta airport. But if we go by Fallout, October 23rd, it was a Saturday, I would have been at my haunted house preparing to get ready for that night. So I would probably be a ghoul that was infused with my stilts.
Oh, I love it. That's
grafted
that feels
onto
like
my legs.
That feels like a total plot line for a Fallout game, for like a ghoul you come across who's still in his Halloween costume from when the bombs dropped. Oh, you take the mask off and you're like, oh, you're not really. Oh, no, you really are a ghoul. You're just wearing a ghoul mask on top of your ghoul face.
I probably would not be able to take the mask off. Since it's a silicone mask, it would be fused to my face.
Nice.
So
nice.
I just play into the bit. I am a pumpkin. I am a ghoul.
Yeah.
Pumpkin King. Yes, my character is a pumpkin.
That's great. I know sometimes developers on the Fallout games will listen to this show. So if anybody gets this idea from Ebony Kitty, please put it into a Fallout game and name them Ebony Kitty or something. That would be amazing. Also, I can't give away breaking news. I'm losing my words. Breaking news. I can't give away much, but I was part of the group that got a early look at the new big update they've been hinting at for Fallout 76. And holy crap, guys, you're going to lose your minds. That's all I can say is it looks really cool. But I just wanted to throw that out there. I know it's kind of annoying that I can't say anything yet, but new information will be released soon. And there's some really cool stuff coming. So just that's all I can say. But anyway, Ebony, that is hilarious. That is hilarious. Anybody have questions for Ebony Kitty on this situation?
With your Halloween thing, are you just going to become a cryptid?
Yep. I just play into the fort. I am a cryptid now.
Can we call you the double ghoul?
Yes, I am now the double ghoul.
Double ghoul. Who are you? I'm the double ghoul. Cool. All right. Any other thoughts, Ebony, or are we ready to move on to the next one?
The only other one would be a quick one would be Nuka-Cola would technically be started in Georgia because that is the birthplace of Coca-Cola.
Yeah, the Coca-Cola Museum's there and all sorts of stuff. Yeah. Yeah, that would be cool. I guess you could, I mean, it's our world is a little bit less exciting. I mean, I don't feel as excited being somebody in the wasteland coming across a Coke. Like, that's not nearly as much fun as a Nuka-Cola. Yeah. So, yeah, good point. All right. Who would like to go next? Got a few people left.
I have a
left.
Quick question, actually, for Ebony. Quickly.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead, Nova. And then we'll do Ash when you guys are done. Go ahead, Nova.
Would we possibly see a zombie scenario just because of the CDC down there and, you know, the Walking Dead and everything? Do you think that would be a possibility? Just a zombie outbreak all of a sudden?
Honestly, probably. You'd have
those government bastards are working on something.
Yes.
Yeah.
They keep anthrax, isn't it?
Is it?
They're working on everything.
Yeah, I would imagine they have a little bit of everything there.
It's the CDC. They have all level 4, level 5 biohazard containment. That is quite probably one of the last remaining samples of smallpox down there. Also, polio is
probably in Atlanta. Everything. Yeah, probably everything. So that would be fun. A Fallout game based in the Atlanta area that has now every disease in the world that's let loose back on humanity.
Instead of mutations, you just die.
Yeah, right.
Horrible death.
Fun. This episode is real cheery this week. All right, Ash. Cheer us up. You got anything else to add to this?
I'm sorry,
situation?
I can't cheer you up.
Oh, no.
Because I live about 20 minutes outside DC.
Oh, no. So, wait, you are having the Fallout 3 experience.
Exactly. That's what I said in chat when we decided on this. I was like, I get to base this on Fallout 3. Yeah, no, I live about 20 minutes outside DC on the Maryland side. And so, yeah, if I'm not dead from like the nuclear fallout or the like great blast radiuses, then I'm maybe I get lucky and I'm ghoulified. But you know, my family's good at surviving. You know, dad's a retired army, so he's got the know-how and the means to make sure that we are safe. Don't That's know good. How well our basement will do, but, you know, we can always try and sure. hope for the best.
Hey, well, you've got at least some prep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's most likely that I'm not making it.
Yeah.
In the aftermath, especially, like, if I lose these, I'm gone.
Your glasses? Audio listeners, you're pointing to your glasses.
Yes, yes, my glasses. I have about maybe 2 inches of good vision.
Oh, yeah. Well, this is something I used to joke with my friends in college, because I had a friend who had really bad vision, and he would joke all the time. He was like, if we were hunter-gatherers, I'd be dead by now. Seriously. Yeah, like,
yes,
what do you do?
And with food, I've got not really allergies, but a lot of intolerances. So that's also not great. So,
yeah, I would imagine that it would be very, very hard for anybody who has what in our current world are just kind of inconvenient symptoms or issues or whatever, because of our medicine and our technology and all of those things. You go back to a world where that stuff is not there, and all of a sudden, living becomes way more difficult. I mean, what happens when you don't have somebody who can do surgery and you need your appendix removed? Like, you cease to live. Like, you're done.
Exactly.
Like, it, right? So I had mine out at like 23 years old. So I would be dead by now. You know, like, it's kind of crazy when you think about it. So, all right. Well, DC's getting bombed all over the place. I don't know if there's anywhere for you to hide.
I mean, we could try to make it up north to Pennsylvania, maybe west to one of the Virginias, but
a lot of these places are still getting hit too.
Exactly. Yeah. And trying to get through where the Beltway.
Yeah.
Or even away from the Beltway. Just. Mm-mm.
Yeah. Pumpkin. Pumpkin has thoughts.
I wouldn't go to Pittsburgh.
No, we're not going to Pitt. No, we would probably go somewhere rural.
Yeah, don't go to the Pit. Pitt's not a good place.
No, we would definitely try for somewhere rural.
Yeah. All right. Well, any other question? Any questions for Ash? Any other thoughts on this one? I mean, DC is an interesting place to be because it's we know what's going to happen there. No questions. Any last thoughts, Ash?
No, not really. That's about it.
Yeah, this is pretty.
I do have a question.
Go ahead, Void.
How high of a rank was your dad? And if you don't feel comfortable or don't know, you don't have to answer.
He retired as a lieutenant colonel.
Okay. Does that qualify him for Enclave?
Uh-oh.
No, he would not be Enclave.
That's probably not high enough.
No.
How corrupt he was.
No. My dad is a very good man. He would not be Enclave.
Yeah, I would imagine that the people who are actually... So there are probably a lot of soldiers in the military who would think that they're Enclave, but when things really, really hit the fan, it's only the top level that are actually getting saved.
Why I asked generals. Rank.
Right, the generals and that group. But yeah, good question. So yeah, no Enclave for you. I'm sorry, you're not going to make it. You can join Lil Green and the Donbo. Good luck. And myself. I mean, we'll get to that in a minute. Who hasn't gone? Germinator? Is that the only one left? Germinator, you
I do believe so.
You're not here in the US. Your situation is a big question mark. I don't know what happens in Australia. Plus, you are a truck driver, so you're not ever just in one long. Well, you've been in one location for a long time because of your the foot thing. But typically, you're all over the place. What happens in your scenario?
Well, if we go by Fallout nuke size, so I just pulled up the nuke map and I used the Topol. The SS-25 for the current Russian nuke, which is a 800 kiloton nuke.
Okay.
I'd be in an airburst. I'd be pretty fine, and even surface burst because of the way the wind goes, I'd be pretty fine here. All I'd do is climbing that thing there in my background.
Yeah, in your truck.
In the truck, throw my tools and shit on the back, and drive south into the forests.
So you're assuming that this hits the population center you're closest to?
Yeah.
Okay.
Even if it hits Garden Island, which is a nuclear submarine refueling and resupply station, that's even further away than the CBD. So,
I
think I'll be pretty fine.
I have some questions about the state, and maybe somebody out there knows more than I do because I haven't looked into this in a long time, but the nature of what's going on in Australia in the lore, I don't think is very clear at all. Traditionally, Australia has been, you know, with the United States, an ally, and so therefore could very well be targeted, especially because you are on the, you know, that side of the world, close to China. But I don't know. Correct. I don't know. Like, it has your civilization already fallen due to all the resource wars and all the other stuff that's going on? I don't know. But I guess even in the midst of being targeted, you at least can kind of get going. And there is a lot of land in Australia that is not going to get bombed. So you're going to have, it'll become Mad Max, basically, right?
Not basically, but more or less, literally, yeah. I think every Australian thinks the same way, that if nuclear war ever comes down here, then we're just going to turn to Mad Max.
Right.
I think everyone's secretly got one of those weird fetishist leather outfits in their closet, hiding away, ready to go.
Right, spikes on your football pads and that kind of stuff. Can I come join you? I want to be the guy with the guitar on top of the flaming semi truck, like rocking out.
But you would have to get used to something like Lucas the Spider, but cat or dog sized as your pet.
Okay. I'm okay with that. As long as I get to survive. That sounds good.
Okay. All right. Anyone else want to come down?
Yeah. Anybody have questions for Germinator? Because he's in a very unique situation here.
Okay. I shot him a message. Even if Australia doesn't get nuked, they're still going to, with how much nuclear fallout there would be just from the United States, and if China was hit alone, there would still be mutations down in Australia.
I would imagine that the like the major winds that go across the globe would blow a lot of that radiation from one place to another. So, yeah.
A lot of those animals are going to be much scarier.
Yes.
Well, you guys are forgetting. I'd imagine that North Australia would be very heavily nuked purely just because that's where a lot of American service members would be stationed there. Because it's an allied country, and we would have... we'd be using that as a basic staging post for our campaigns in the Philippines and China itself. So I'd imagine North Australia would be, well, at least like a, who is it, Darwin, I think, up there. And is Darwin and Perth in North Australia, right, Germinator?
Yeah, Darwin is the pretty much the northernmost capital city.
Yeah, that's what
Australia.
I thought.
It's about 3,500-4,000 miles from me.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good point, Nova. Yeah, like I think the American bases would absolutely be targets.
Yeah, because it would just be a major resupply and staging point for America. And so those would be fucked. The rest of Australia would be fine, though.
Yeah. Also, Pumpkin just posted Kanga Claw.
Yes, Kanga Claw.
Can you imagine even bigger kangaroos with like terrifying like fangs?
It's one of Logan's favorite animals. He would love it, even if it tried to kill him.
The castle.
Look, all I'm going to say is if their meat is then to become a mixture of crocodile and kangaroo, all I'm going to say is they're going to be absolutely fucking tasty.
Yeah, if you can kill one.
No, I mean, crocodiles are turning into death crocs. It's just death crocs. You know, instead of it's a death. Uh-huh. It's like a
it's a death-a-dial.
A gator claw, but it's a death gator.
Maybe we need to do a future episode about like the coolest mutated animals you could come up with from different places across the world. That would be fun.
Oh, no,
that would be fun.
That sounds like we already have our COVID episode planned out.
Yeah. Awesome stuff. This is great. Any last thoughts, Germinator?
Also, we have insanely large uranium deposits down here, so it'd be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, there's, you know, going to be a lack of certain materials and, you know, important things.
What he's saying is if one country already invaded Australia and claimed it as itself before the bombs dropped.
Oh, so you think that would have been before? I'm wondering like post bombs or in response to war. But yeah, that could track as well.
Well, and what Nova was kind of getting at was my question, like who's in control of Australia when the bombs fall?
Yeah, I don't know that we know that.
Is it just Australia on its own, or is it like China took over Australia?
I don't imagine American satellite state almost.
Yeah, good luck with that.
I mean,
Australians lost to emus, so I don't know that they could win against anybody else.
I mean, German, like, hear me out. What I'm saying is it's basically the Australian government backed by the U.S. military in support for us to, in order to deploy our soldiers there. If we just support your government and keep it stable, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So here's the
you
other
mean
scenario.
That's what we're doing right now.
Here's the other scenario: is that it seems highly implied that a lot of these other governments have actually fallen apart, and the lack of resources like gas and power and the lack of food is highly impacting those populations. So places like Australia, places like maybe even places in Europe, a lot of other places have probably already fallen into anarchy. So even if the Americans or the Chinese wanted their resources, they wouldn't have. There's no actual society to negotiate with, because maybe things already fell apart. Like that's a big question mark. Maybe that's a thing. I don't know. But it seems highly implied, at least in my understanding. So I don't know. Pretty crazy stuff. But all right. Is that it, Germinator? Anything else? I know we kind of went back and forth about a few different things. You good? Cool.
No, I'm good.
I think we got everybody covered. I guess I get to go then. Well, living in Florida, there are multiple major multi-million population city centers in Florida, also military bases all over the place, especially due to, you know, the history of our proximity to places like Cuba and things like that. So I'm not surviving. There's nowhere for me to go. The only direction you can go to get out of Florida is north or on a boat. And unless, and I don't live up in, say, you know, the part that's closer to Georgia or Alabama, like the panhandle area, the northern sections that are less likely to get bombed. But even then, the populations that would be trying to get out of the state over just a few different highways that go north would be absolutely jam-packed. It's bad enough during a hurricane to try to go anywhere, let alone nukes start falling. So, no, and on top of it, you cannot dig basements in Florida because the water table's too high. So there's no vaults, unless they're underwater vaults that I don't know about, and there's nowhere to go to hide in your own basement. So, guys, I'm either dead or a ghoul. Like, that's it.
You're okay. Not going to make Swamp Tom?
Swamp Tom?
So, okay, so I feel like Florida wouldn't change much, though.
Yeah, it's basically the same.
It's Florida.
It's still just Florida, man, everywhere. Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one.
They're not even called ghouls. It's just labeled Florida man.
They're just Florida man. Yeah. They're not ghouls. Just Florida.
They're not even ghoulified, but they're still as strong.
Yeah. You just become more Florida man.
Of course.
Your Florida man increases. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining me. This has been super fun. Yeah, Germinator?
Why don't you just get on a oil tanker and just, you know, slowly make your way down to Australia?
There you go. I mean, that was my other set. What I said earlier is that you can either go north or get on a boat. So if I don't have a boat, I'd have to find a boat. I don't know what I would do. But I mean, I guess there's potential to get on a boat and then just head somewhere. But there's really not many places to go. So I don't know. But hey, thanks, everybody, for joining me. We got to wrap this up. Hey, let's go through. I've got some new patrons to welcome and a review to read out, and you guys can be part of it. So first of all, welcome to Ladombo. Hey, look, you're right here. You signed up. Welcome to the Patreon. Thank you for joining us. And then also, Germinator is our sentry bot and gets a shout out. If you'd like to join us on patreon.com/falloutlorecast, you can come join us for future chats like this, or just get the ad-free episodes or t-shirts and all sorts of other stuff. So go check that stuff out. And thank you to everybody who continues to support this show. I couldn't do this without all of you. Thank you so very, very much. Also, we got this review. This came in on Apple Podcasts. If you leave a 5-star review, I'll read it out on a future episode like this one from Fallout FEV. Pretty accurate name. Great show. This has been really fun to listen to while I mow the grass and while I try to sleep. Great job, dude. You're awesome. You deserve more love and attention. My favorite thing you talked about on your podcast is the vault experiments. Yeah, the vault experiments are always fun to discuss. But thank you for that support. Oh, and we had a message from No Fill, No Thrill. I'm going to tack that onto the end of the episode so you guys can listen to that. And that'll be kind of a little bonus because Phil wasn't able to join us this week. But here, let's give everyone a... send off. We're going to go back through in the order that I see everyone on the screen. So we're going to start with Void, and then we're going to go through. Feel free to share something that you've got, you're working on, something you want to throw out into the world. And otherwise, thank you for joining us. Void, I know you've got fun Dungeons and Dipshit stuff.
Yes, we do. Hi, my name is Void, or Jeremy Geyser, the DM for Dungeons and Dipshits, a live play D&D podcast. That is our podcast. We play Dungeons and Dipshits. I'm reducing my episodes to like once a month, but that's for personal issues. But you can find me on the Discord. My DMs are always open if you need to rant. And go listen to my podcast, please.
Go check it out.
We've also got a couple more projects in the works.
We're funny, believe me. We're funny.
please, for the love of God.
Please listen. Cool, man. Well, thank you for being here again. Yeah, go check out his show. If you're listening to this on a podcast platform, you can just quickly search that and it'll come right up, I'm sure.
Yep, Spotify, Apple, iHeart.
Yeah, once you get on those, that kind of proliferates. It goes everywhere else, too. So you're good. Yeah, it's everywhere. Thanks, Void. Pumpkin, also a part of that podcast.
Hey, I play Axis Little Light on Dungeons and Dipshits. I am Logan Williams, or Pumpkin, or the Pumpkin King. I run our Blue Sky for Dungeons and Dipshits. We also do have an Instagram. Our Blue Sky was it Dungeons in Dipshits?
Yes, and Dungeons and Dipshits.
Yeah, and the letter N, Dipshits.
There might be an underscore. And, I need to look at my description. But
I don't think there's an underscore. I think I just went Dungeons and Dipshits.
Okay, anyway, we have a Blue Sky. Yeah. That's in
we
the
have
Blue
a,
Sky.
Yeah, we have pack. A Blue Sky. I also have myself, my own Blue Sky, which I'm trying to start posting a bit more. That is the Pumpkin King. That is the E being a 3 and the I's being 1s. You can also find me in the Discord. You can probably find almost everybody in the call in the Discord. I might be in the chat after the call. Depends on how things go. So,
cool.
Yeah, that's me.
Thanks, man.
And yeah, like Jeremy said, we do have some projects, that whether it be the actual show projects or little side projects for the show. So
more stuff
keep
coming.
Keep an eye out for that.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us. Ebony Kitty, thanks for being here. Anything you want to shout out?
No, just spooky season. That's all I got.
Yeah. Spooky season is the best. Well, thanks for joining us. Lil Green on vacation, making time to join us. Thanks for being here.
Always happy to be here. But if you want to check out anything that I do, you can follow my Instagram for my photography, lilgreen_photography. Or if you want to talk to me in the Discord, just look up my name. Same thing, just Lil Green. And yeah, that's really it.
Yeah, so. Good. Go check out his stuff. It's good. Thanks, yes. Lil Green.
No, listen to Tom.
They trust me on everything. Please. I say all the time. Nobody ever comments on my show and is like, well, actually. Welcome to the internet. Yeah. Thanks, Lil Green. Ash, Brachio Dreamer Ash. I'll say your full name now, so that's easier to just pronounce it all at once rather than quickly. Well, thanks for joining us.
It's great to be here. You can find me on the Discord. I don't really have anything outside going on. So yeah, if you want to chat, I'm always on the Discord.
Very cool. That's easy peasy. Thanks for joining us. Judson also, thanks for joining us again, Judson.
Yeah. I'm not always active in Discord, but if I get tagged and it shows up in my notifications, I'll pop up. But usually I'm just kind of sitting back in the shadows.
Just hanging out, just creeping around in the shadows, surviving in the wasteland while the rest of us get blown apart. Well, thanks for joining us.
Yep.
And Ladonbo, also our newest sign up on Patreon, just joining right in time for the show.
I'm super happy to be here. I've been listening for a long time and feel like I know all of you guys a little bit. So I've just been super excited to hop in. I don't really have anything going on yet. I'm working on trying to like get a Twitch channel up and running.
Nice.
But I'll, post it in the Discord or something if that gets some headway. But
what is
I also
a
was thinking.
No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. I couldn't help myself.
I was also, I also draw and I haven't in a while, but I wanted to work on a project. So if any of you guys want to hit me up in the Discord, I really wanted to draw all of your guys' Fallout characters from that one episode where you all described like what kind of characters you would be and how you would roll your stats and stuff.
Nice. Nice. You're getting, for those people listening on audio, they're getting some very, very fun reactions by people who seem very excited about this. So,
oh, okay.
That's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I was the whole time at work listening to everybody's, descriptions and their character builds. And that's ultimately what led me to download, 76 and try it for the first time as well. So I got that on PS5 and PC. So,
nice, nice. Fun stuff coming. I can't tell you, and it's driving me nuts, but we'll have to talk about it in the future very soon. But yeah, thanks for joining us. And that sounds super cool. I know that we have a number of artists, Wasteland Oni, who used to join us, who now is swapped over to the Elder Scrolls Lorecast. So I'll be chatting with her probably tomorrow night, has been posting art and that kind of thing on there. And also a lot of other people have done Twitch streaming and things like that. So if you have any questions, feel free to post. And I'm sure there are people who can chime in or say, hey, this is what works for me or whatever. So thanks for joining us. Nova, second to last on the list. Somehow you're always toward the bottom. I don't know if it's just the order that people join the chat or whatever, but I feel like sometimes you're usually the one who wraps us up. But we got Germinator this week.
Zoom is trying to shut me up.
Is that it?
Yeah, it's big Zoom always going after little Zoom. Nova.
Freaking Zoom.
Yeah, it's nice to be here. I'm always in the Discord if you want to chat with me. I'm pretty much always open.
Occasionally, I do post YouTube videos. Have not done that in a year and a half, though. But I'm working on one right now. Hopefully, going to get it out for the 10-year anniversary of Fallout 4. So
fun.
That's going to be next month, by the way, if people don't know.
That's crazy to think about.
I know it is, right? It's just Supernova on YouTube. Just capital S-U-P-E-R, N, capital N, zero, capital V, capital A. Look for the Golden Retriever icon. And if things go well, I will have a video breaking down the Commonwealth, hopefully. Very 10 cool. years late.
That's great. Hey, no, good for getting back to it, man. I know it's sometimes it's hard, but like, good on you.
Yeah. Yeah. I needed a break to get everything set up, you know, life, a business, a house, stuff like that.
Yeah. Important things. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, good job.
All right.
Good job.
Thank you.
Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us. And then we've got Germinator wrapping it up. Germinator. Good to see you as usual.
Yeah. Here as usual. Yeah, I don't do much at the moment. I do ham radio, so for those of you that know your way around amateur radio stuff, my call sign's Victor Kilo 6 Tango Hotel Whiskey. I'm usually on most bands. But apart from that, yeah, just hanging out, chilling. So cool. Feel free to give me a yell on Discord or wherever.
Sounds good, man. Well, thanks for joining us again.
Always a pleasure.
All right, everybody. Thank you for being here. I hope you enjoyed this episode. And we'll have maybe we should do a spooky episode next week. Maybe we should talk about monsters and come up with crazy monsters for spooky month. There's always something fun to talk about every month. So thank you for joining me. And stay tuned. No Fill, No Thrills comments about how he's going to survive in Germany are going to be right as soon as I'm done talking about this stuff. And then we'll see you next week. I'll be back with some regular episodes. You guys know how it is. We'll see you next time. Stay safe in the wasteland. Unless, of course, you live in a place like some of us do where you're just going to get obliterated. And then you don't even have to worry about that. So I guess that's cool. All right. See you next time.
Hello, everyone. So as anyone probably knows right now, I live in Germany. And we know very little about Germany in the world of Fallout. But assuming Germany would get hit by bombs, I live in the southern part of Germany, like 50 kilometers south of Frankfurt. Frankfurt is a banking hub. So Frankfurt very, very, very likely would get hit. And then we have two other cities, 20, 25, 30 kilometers from where I live, Darmstadt and Mannheim. And both cities in Darmstadt is a company Merck. It's a big pharma company. They were in the 20s. They were a big producer of cocaine. So they might be a big producer of camps in the Fallout world. So these cities might probably be hit as well. Fun fact. Where I live, I actually knew, I knew where the next Fallout shelter is. It's under the hospital I worked in for several years. It's non-functional right now, but in the world of Fallout with constant war and nuclear threat, it very well might still be functional, operational, and kept functional. Unfortunately, I looked this up. October 23rd, 2077 would be a Saturday, so it's not clear if I would be working. But I think if traffic would be, but traffic probably wouldn't be so good, but I might be able to make this in 20 minutes. So I might survive in the shelter for some weeks, months, years. I don't know how long the supplies would last. And then first days into the wasteland, yeah, well, you probably look for some weapons. I mean, Germany has very strict gun laws, obviously. But I live in an area where we have a lot of forest and a lot of hunting, so you might get some guns. I actually knew a few hunters where they live. Maybe I might look there first. And then, of course, water, food, the necessities, some place to stay safe. And yeah, let's just say it probably would be fun 3 months before somebody would shoot me or stab me or something like this.
To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.